there is always an appeal of being your own boss, of doing your own thing, of not having to answer to anyone. I was kind of reminded of that when we were in our Bible study. We were talking about Habakkuk, and it mentions that the Babylonians, they're their own authority. Now, they derive that authority from their strength. And therein lies a problem. It's an idea of, well, might makes right. I can do what I want because I'm stronger than you are. And you can see that appeal also in the days of the judges. For instance, in Judges chapter 21. Judges 21. And in verse 25, the book of Judges basically talks about how Israel just slides into moral decay, getting worse and worse over time. And at the very end of the book, it says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." You know, hey, they got to do whatever they wanted to do. And yet it was a period marked by the behavior going from bad to worse, to wretched, by the end of that book. And that same appeal goes with young people today. You see people being able to, hey, I get to make decisions. And so they rebel against the idea of anyone who puts any types of limits on what they might do. And yet those who have power typically want to retain their power. You know, as the teachings of Christ spread, the Jewish leaders demanded to know how the apostles had the right to teach doctrines that were different from what they approved. How is it that they were able to do miracles? In our scripture reading in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "And when they placed them in the center, they began to inquire, 'By what power or in what name have you done this?'" You know, it's like, kind of like going back to the Babylonians. What power, what strength do you have that allow you to change that? Power was being demonstrated. They understood that that could not have originated with them. They had healed a man. Now, Jesus demonstrated power that could only have originated with God. In fact, what Peter says in Acts chapter 22, he says, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know." Those miracles, those signs, those wonders, they had to come from God. And that meant then that God was backing up what Jesus was teaching. He was approving of the message that Jesus was giving. If we go back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And in verse 2 it says, "Well, Nicodemus had come to Jesus, and this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God was with him.'" Even the Jewish leaders, at least some of them, recognized the fact Jesus' power shows that God is behind what he was teaching. And Jesus actually told his apostles in Acts chapter 8 that he was going to give them power as well. In Acts 8 verse 1, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come to you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." And when they went out to preach, they preached with power. In fact, Paul mentions this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. They taught what God wanted. They taught with power. They taught with authority. Thus, the Jewish leaders were asking basically, who is the authority? When they said, by what power do you do these things? Who is the authority behind these miracles that you're performing? But they also said, in what name do you do these things? When they ask that, they're asking basically what authority is backing their teaching. Now, Jesus had stated in John chapter 5, in John chapter 5 and in verse 43, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you'll receive him. Jesus taught by the Father's authority. He had the backing of God. And notice that some claim no greater authority than themselves. Kind of like the Babylonians. Jesus promised the disciples that they would be able to act with his delegated authority to them. In Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. And in verse 17. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons and they'll speak with new tongues. Jesus is going to delegate, in my name, give them the authority, the right to speak on his behalf. And they would appeal to that authority. In fact, all they had to do was ask. Jesus said in John chapter 14, John 14 and verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. So the Father will may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You do it with my authority, I'll make sure that it was done. And again, so the Jewish leaders, when they were asking, by what power, by what name, they were asking who gave them the right to teach as they were teaching. Now, if you go back to Acts chapter 4, the answer to both those questions in Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. Now notice they answered both questions. By what name? Jesus Christ. By what power? God raised him from his dead. This is the right they had to proclaim. They were not promoting their own agenda. They were acting just as Jesus had authorized them to do so. And a little bit later, in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, and starting in verse 17, people were converted in the area called Samaria. And there had been a man named Simon there. And he watched as Peter and John came and bestowed gifts of the Holy Spirit on the people. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 17, he said, then they began laying their hands on them and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed but through the laying on the apostles' hands, he offered them money. He wanted the authority to pass on the Holy Spirit, just as the apostles had. But he thought he could buy it. See, that type of authority, it's not bought. It's granted by the one who's in power. And so Peter answered in verse 20. Peter said to him, "May your silver and your perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore repent of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity." He did not have the authority, the right to demand or even try to buy authority for himself. And we all understand we need authority in our lives. You know, the tornadoes were just hit not too long ago. You know, announcement comes across the speakers. I was in the high school. Shelter! I had no idea where the shelter was at. All the students knew what to do. I followed them. But there was authority behind it. They knew what had to be done. They followed it. Now, if you stop at a rest area and you enter the building and you see two doors, one is marked restrooms, and the other is marked authorized personnel. You know what? Most of us don't even think about walking in the door that says authorized personnel because we know we don't have the authority to enter that door. We immediately recognize we're not permitted to go through that door because we weren't given the authority. But if, you know, this doesn't start just there either, or stop there. You know, you enter the restroom door, and there's an sign that says, you know, the little stick figure that says man that way and woman that way. We know which direction to go immediately. Okay? Even though the word only doesn't appear. Doesn't even say man and woman sometimes. And yet we know which direction we're allowed to go. See, we recognize the need for authority, but when it comes to religion, the recognition of principles of authority, well, they're replaced with emotions. They're replaced with irrational desires to do what one wants to do, instead of appealing to somebody who's actually authorized. For instance, in that same chapter, going back to Acts chapter 4, and looking at verse 12, it says, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven which has been given among men by which we must be saved." There is no other way to gain salvation. There's no other authority. There is no other name but Jesus. And he was inherited that authority from God. In Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, and in verse 4, "Having become as much better than the angels, he has inherited a more excellent name than they." He has greater right than all the angels in heaven. He inherited that from his Father. In fact, because of his deeds, he was placed in the highest position. It says in Philippians chapter 2, "He humbled himself to become man But in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, after rising from the dead, it says, being found in appearance as being found as appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, also, God gave highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. He has been given the highest authority. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. He has authority over everything and everyone. And we have to keep that in mind, because God teaches us that we need authority, and we need authority for everything we do. Going to Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Everything we do has to be based on the authority of Christ, because Jesus was given all authority. Going to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28 and verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the verse before says, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. He holds all the authority. And Jesus, then, authority is above everything else. Above every all others. In Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And in verse 20. Which he brought about in Jesus, or in Christ, when he was raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he's put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Everything is underneath Jesus. He has a name that's above every other name. His authority is above every other authority. All our conduct then must conform to the directives of Jesus. We have to have prior approval before our actions occur. Now, if we go back and look in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5 and in verse 23. Moses said, ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. Moses came to speak to Pharaoh in God's name. It wasn't by his own authority. He spoke God's words to Pharaoh. He said only what God wanted him to say. And Pharaoh ignored it, which is what led to the downfall of Egypt. Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10. They decided to make some alterations. And it says, now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire went out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Here again, they acted in a way that God did not command. They did things without God's authority behind them. And as a result, their actions did not honor God. In fact, the very next verse, then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy. And before all the people, I will be honored. Doing your own thing doesn't honor God. It only honors yourself. When Uzzah was carrying the ark on a cart, taking it to the new place, his new resting place, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, he had very good intentions. And when that, in 2 Samuel 6, when that cart almost tipped because the oxen had stumbled on a flat floor, it says in verse 6, then they came by to the threshing floor of Nacon. Uzzah reached out toward the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it. He was trying to keep the ark from being damaged. But he had not followed God's laws. He did something that was irreverent towards God, because he did something God said, don't do. In verse 7, it says, the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence. And he died there by the ark of God. What was the irreverence? Well, you've got to go to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. And in verse 13, because you did not carry it at the first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek him according to the ordinances. We didn't do it the way God told us to do it in the first place. They didn't have the authority. And by doing it their own way, they show no respect for God. When we get to the New Testament, and Centurion makes a comment in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 9. For I am also a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I said to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. He understands the authority. Because he's in charge, other people do what he says and obey him. But the Jewish leaders, when Jesus comes, the Son of God himself, they question his authority. In Matthew chapter 21 and in verse 23, and when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? In other words, who gave you the right to act as you do, to teach as you do? You know what? Jesus' answer was not, well, who needs authority? As long as I'm not in direct violation of a command and says, here, what I want to do, it should be all right, right? No, he doesn't do that. Instead, Jesus answers that the authority had to come from God. Because he then asks, where did John get his authority? If they recognize John's authority was from God, then they ought to recognize that his authority came from God. But they chose to refuse to acknowledge that. Since everything we must do comes from one power, then we're limited in what we do and what we say. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, and in verse 11, 1 Peter 4, verse 11, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What we advocate must be found in the sayings of God. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about what makes me happy or you happy. We are not to go beyond what God has said. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And in verse 6. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that you may in us learn not to exceed what is written, so that no one of you will become arrogant on behalf of one against another. Don't go beyond what is written. That authority has been written out for us. We're not allowed to add it or change it. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and in verse 21, it says, but examine everything carefully, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now, all around us are churches who introduce all sorts of practices that are just not found in the Scriptures. And I'll tell you what, it meets our needs. It gets more people involved. It brings a lot of people. It generates enthusiasm. It allows us to get things done. We really like it. It keeps our young people interested. It creates a warm and accepting environment. And not, you know, none of those are not necessarily bad. But what's lacking is the anchor, the authority that has to come first. Because without authority from God, we'll drift away from the truth. We have to do what is right. Take a look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 35. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcomed by him. And we dare not cross the boundaries that God has placed. In 2 John chapter 9, or verse 9, 2 John verse 9, says, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. And so there is only one way. Jesus holds all authority. As Jesus said in John chapter 14, and in verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's the only avenue, because he has all the authority. And there is no other. Going back to Acts chapter 4, look at verse 12. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven by which has been given among men by which we must be saved. There is no other. We've been talking all month about power. Jesus holds the power in the universe. And we must submit to that. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's an opportunity right now to put on Christ. For those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of the brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.